What I can tell you about, though, is some expert opinion on tracking of animals. If you've ever had the privilege of visiting a private game reserve or of being taken on some kind of guided game experience, no doubt you will have marveled at the knowledge and the skill of the game rangers, particularly when it comes to their tracking skills. It's not only about the wealth of information they have to share about how animals behave, but to be able to look in the sand and say, well, that's the spoor of animal X and it was heading in this direction and I can see that it was slightly lame in its right back leg, etc. I've always just found that absolutely fascinating. And if you have too and you've always wished that perhaps you could acquire a little bit of that skill yourself, this is your chance, because a new book has just been released called Tracker Manual, A Practical Guide to Animal Tracking in Southern Africa. And I have one of the authors on the line to chat to us about why they have produced this book and some of the key skills it might help you to master. His name is Alex Vandenhoefer. He's the general manager of the Tracker Academy, which trains young people to become animal trackers. I'll give you more of the story in a moment. What you need to know is that Alex has spent the last 30 years plus working in wildlife tracking and conservation, over 20 years service on the Londolozi Reserve amongst that. And he has tracked, besides our own local wildlife, jaguars in the Amazon jungle, bears in California, wolves in Montana, and pumas in Patagonia. Alex, it's wonderful to have you with us this afternoon. And before we say any more, let me also acknowledge your co-authors on this book, Rania Simhlongo, Carl Bernardi, and Ian Thomas. But it is Alex Vandenhoefer joining me via Zoom. Great to have you with us, Alex.
Hi, Pepe. Thank you so much for having me. Yes, indeed.
Pleasure to have you on the show. I mean, the art of tracking is, it's part of our indigenous heritage in this country. And I know you were very worried that it was disappearing. Before we talk about this book, can you tell us more about what made you decide to open the Tracker Academy over a decade ago?
Yes, and not only I was worried, many people in the tracking fraternity have been concerned. You know, tracking, we don't know how old tracking is, perhaps 20,000 years old. There are Bushman rock paintings depicting tracks. So yeah. It's certainly the oldest skill in Africa, if not in the world. And it's a skill that we now export to other countries. And due to the legacy of apartheid forcing people off their land, as well as the worldwide trend of rapid urbanization, we see people moving away from natural areas into cities and towns. And therefore, as a consequence, traditional skills of animal tracking in Africa, certainly in Southern Africa, have declined at a rapid rate. Right. We don't know, but we've lost the vast majority of indigenous knowledge. And that was the basis on which we decided to start the Tracker Academy. There was no school in Africa that was actively training and accrediting trackers on a national framework qualification to be employed as professionals in the conservation industry. And that's what we started 15 years ago.
And in those 15 years, how many new trackers have you produced? And Alex, where have they gone to work?
That's a good question, Pippa. We've produced, I looked at it this morning in preparation for this interview, yep. But we've trained 266 young men and women, all of whom were previously unemployed people, many without hope, most coming from villages living adjacent to big wildlife areas. We bring them onto a one-year course, and of those, 94.5% are now employed in the conservation industry, either in ecotourism lodges like places like Londolozi or in anti-poaching units. We know that the rhino poaching situation has been out of control over the last 10 years or so. So about 3 years ago, we opened a new division called Rhino Guardians, where we are training trackers specifically now to bolster the anti-poaching efforts right throughout Southern Africa. And 100% of our Rhino Guardians are now in jobs. So
Wonderful.
A lot of people said to me, nobody wants to employ trackers. No, it's just a dying art. Well, the statistics tell us otherwise. We are drinking from a fire hydrant. Most of our graduates are employed before they even graduate from us.
That's fantastic. And I mean, as you said, the applications in anti-poaching activities, so absolutely essential and wonderful to know that, that those skills are being invested in. This book, though, is an opportunity to help others acquire them, I mean, for use in their own enjoyment, I assume. I mean, what was the motivation behind producing this tracker manual? Are you intending it to be of use in professional or semi-professional settings? Or is it more about saying to those who are interested, who would like to know what those little footprints you're looking at in the sand are and who they belong to? What was the sort of thinking about your target audience here?
Yes, well, it's certainly both audiences, as you described. The reason we wrote it was when we started the school, as I said earlier, there was no school that could help us with a curriculum, a textbook. So this was our textbook we wrote. Right. And an internal textbook, which we eventually published. Actually, we published the first version in 2017, and it sold 10 or 15,000 copies. And on the strength of that, the publisher, Straight Nature, asked us to write a second edition because of the popularity. And so what we've done in the second edition is just add more species, improve the drawings, accuracy of the drawings, improve the imagery. We've created a track comparisons table at the back. And so it's designed for anybody from a novice who's just interested in the scrapes and footprints on the ground, who's a nature enthusiast, right up to somebody who's studying an animal in the field and needs to understand more about the signs they leave behind.
And I'm so glad you used the term signs they leave behind, because a lot of people, when they think of the concept of tracking, they think of following footprints. But what this book makes abundantly clear is that it is so much more than that. It's about having the right questions and being inquisitive about what the terrain around you is telling you about who might have been here, when they might have moved through this place, what they were doing, etc. Alex, I mean, you write several times in the book about asking and being curious and about inquisivity and imagination being essential skills for someone who wants to be a tracker. So let's talk a little bit about what we should be looking at. If you do stop to look at some tracks in the sand while you're on a game drive, you shouldn't stop with the tracks alone, right?
No, absolutely not. The tracks are just the beginning. The track is some detail, it's some evidence, but animals, as they move through the landscape, are constantly leaving different forms of evidence. They're eating, they're pooping, they're calling, they're causing other animals, if it's a lion or a predator, to make alarm calls. Yeah. So all of that information, you have this variety of sources of information, have to be identified and interpreted. So what's fascinating about the tracker's mindset, especially the master or the expert tracker, is that they engage in both hemispheres of the brain, really. The one is the focused, analytical, very rational side of thinking, mode of thinking. That is to be able to, for example, identify a lion's track and be able to separate it from any other footprint that's around it. And then the second piece is to be able to see that evidence within the full context of the landscape. And that requires a much more holistic, creative, diffuse mode of thinking. And so that's why tracking is so difficult, is because it demands you to move between these two very, very disparate modes of thinking. And there's nothing mystical about tracking. Often people talk about tracking in terms of mystique and it's magical and you could have special eyesight. No, anybody, any gender, any human being with an able body, a reasonable eyesight, a good memory, can learn to track at a high level of competence. And we've done that at Tracker Academy for 15 years. And I think this book will get people started. And at the back of the book, we start to talk about the tracker's mindset, the kind of thinking I've just been talking about, and how you employ the tracker's mindset when you're in the bush, but also how you can use the tracker's mindset in any tracking anything in life, because we know we all go off track at some point in our lives. How do we get back on track?
Yeah. Just for anybody who's come in late to the conversation, my guest on the line with us via Zoom is Alex Vandenhoefer, who is one of the four authors of The Tracker Manual, a practical guide to animal tracking in Southern Africa. He has over three decades experience in tracking and conservation himself. He's the general manager of the Tracker Academy, which trains people in the art of tracking wildlife. And this new book full of really practical advice and examples. And there are pictures of the different prints and of the what the spoor look like of different animals and what you should be looking at and thinking about if you find a trace of spoor in a sandbank, for example? You know, what should you be looking around and asking yourself and listening for to identify what has been there? Now, Teresa asking on the email, Alex, whether it's possible to track snakes. I know the answer is yes, because there's a whole section in the book on snakes, but do you want to elaborate a little bit on what's involved and how you determine the difference between different snakes trails?
Yes, the short answer is you can track snakes and you can tell which direction they're going in. Both track snakes that make use of a serpentine form there. They leave this S-shaped trail on the ground, as well as the rectilinear. So puff adders and pythons, they almost walk using their muscles and the scales to grip on little stones and irregularities on the ground. And so, yes, we can tell the difference, for example, between a young python and a puff adder, no problem. We can tell how big a snake is from the width, but telling exact species, say, for example, between a cobra and a mamba can be more difficult. There are trackers who claim to be able to do it, and I don't dispute that, but I don't have evidence of that yet. We are looking to that. But if any of the listeners have pet snakes and they are able to tell and help us understand the different trails, then I'd love to know and I'd love to see evidence of that, because we can all learn.
Thank you. Well, the offer's on the table if anybody listening. I know we've had a couple of snake specialists in the studio over the years who are absolutely passionate about them and have many types in their menagerie, I guess is the word I'm looking for. If one of them's listening today, Tyrone Ping, I'm thinking of you. Do you have any way of telling from a trail what kind of snake has made it? Perhaps you'd like to give us a call. You're very good at catching them when they're found in unusual places. So maybe this is an additional skill set. What would be one of the most common or mistakes that people make when they're starting out and only just learning how to track and follow and identify an animal? Are there sort of key beginner's errors that one should be alert to?
Yeah, so tracking, broadly speaking, has two components. The one is the identification of the actual signs, like we've been talking about. And then the second component is the following of, for example, a rhino's trail until you find that animal. And a rhino, by the way, is just an easy animal to follow, and that's why they subjected to the poaching that they have. So when it comes to this, and the tracks and signs, if tracking were a language, would be akin to the alphabet. So you've got to learn the tracks and signs first. You've got to learn your ABC before you can read a word and string words together to make sentences. So that's where you would begin. And that's, in fact, where the bulk of this book focuses on, because the trailing, although I can give you the theory of trailing, and we have given it in the book, you really need to get out. It's like golf. You can get the theory, but you got to get out and you got to hit that golf ball.
Yeah, many times
and
over.
You've got to get your eye in, and you got to get the muscle memory flowing. And so that's what trailing really requires one to do. It's to get it and spend a lot of, as the Americans call, dirt time, following trails of all kinds. Follow yourself, follow your dog, follow whatever animal is there. And you can start to get really, really good.
Speaking of which, one of our listeners is asking on the WhatsApp line whether there is any kind of tracking competition to find the world's best tracker. Does such an event exist, as far as you know, Alex?
No, it does not exist, but Tracker Academy is in discussions with to do something like that at some point. We've had lots of requests to put up the world championships of tracking. I've been in two minds as to whether I would like to do it, but I see there is an interest, and it's interesting that you have another viewer that's asking that question. But tracking, there's these masters and these expert trackers have personalities that make them track in different ways. And there's some are stronger in, for example, being able to formulate a hypothesis of what they know, is this evidence around them, what the animal is doing. Mm-hmm. Others are better at actually recognizing really, really obscure subtleties in the evidence itself. So you have different approaches. So it would be hard to say you are the best or this person is the best tracker in the world. Yeah, but there is some merit to some of it. So we are looking into it.
In the meantime, if you'd like to brush up on your own skills, you need to get hold of a copy of Tracker Manual, A Practical Guide to Animal Tracking in Southern Africa. You've been listening to Alex Vandenheuvel, who is one of the co-authors, along with Renia Simhlongo, Carl Bernardi, and Ian Thomas. Final question for you, Alex. If somebody listening to this is seized by passion to learn these skills and thinking that the Tracker Academy should be their next step in life, how do they make contact with the Academy to find out more?
Well, they can go on our website, Pippa, trackeracademy.co.za. There's a contact page there. It'll come through to us. And if we can help, we will do so. If we do work with associates like Eco Training that run shorter courses, mm-hmm. 1, 2, and 4 week courses, and other organizations as well. And we work closely with them, and we'd happily put you in touch with the right person, depending on what the needs are.
So thankful for that, Alex. It's been a pleasure having you on the show today. Thank you for sharing your particular knowledge and skill with us. And thank you for this incredible book. I'm really looking forward to taking it with me on my next bush trip and adding another level to the experience. Great to have you on the show today.
Thank you. And please come and visit us, Pippa, at Tracker Academy. And we'd love to host you and take you tracking lions on foot one day.
Oh, my gosh. That's an invite I will definitely take up, Alex. Thank you. Alex Vandenheuvel there speaking about the Tracker Manual. Now, it is published by Strike Nature and it is available in stores now at roughly 450 Rand a copy. If you are somebody who spends time in the bush and would like to add just a new depth of knowledge to your experience of the bush, if you are sick of staring at little bulky thralls and footprints in the sand and wondering what made them, this book could hold the answers for you. Look for it in any good bookstore now.